Hello and welcome to Pokédex Pathfinders, where we explore the Pokédex at a leisurely pace. I'm Ben.
And I'm Andy.
Well, in today's episode, we talk about number 77 and 78, the Ponyta family.
And we're joined by a friend of the show, Britt.
And we're going to ask her her top five favorite pokes. Let's get to it. All right, number 77, Ponyta. It is the Fire Horse Pokémon. And we are back to fully translated animals, because you probably could have just knocked the word fire off of that one and it still would have worked. This is a horse. Since this is a horse, we would like to bring on our friend of the show and horse expert, Brittany.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Give us a little bit of history. Why should I trust your opinion on horses? What's your history with horses?
I have quite an extensive history as a weird horse girl.
All right.
I literally have a note in here. I'll just start by asking, is the term horse girl offensive? Is this a Karen kind of thing? Is this...
That's a good question. I feel like I fully embrace it. I think I had it as like one of the things in the yearbook that was like horse girl. And I was like, oh God, I don't want to be that. But now I'm like fully invested in being horse girl. But yeah, I've ridden horses since I was 5 years old.
And I assume you do shows?
I do. Yeah. So
I don't know how the contests work.
Yeah, do you own horses? Do you visit horses?
Who rescued who?
Exactly. I have my own horse. His name is Julius. He is chestnut, but so he's like an orange color, so hence Orange Julius is his show name. And similar to show dogs, just as weirdly, they have their show names as well as their barn names. So his barn name is just Jax.
Well, you got to have a stage name, so you got to have some pizzazz.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. And we do know, don't worry, listener, she is not some random person who we found that likes horses that doesn't like Pokemon. No. She is a Pokemon fan as well. So we're getting both sides of the story here.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we looked through a lot of like horse girl resumes. That's where I thought you were going with that.
I've actually just been like hanging out, sitting on the fence with like a cowboy hat near the barns recently. My wife's been a really big fan of it.
Perfect. I do have a question as we get into biology information, though. Okay. So Ponyta, it said Ponyta is 3 feet, 66 pounds.
Hold on.
What?
It's fire type.
Thank you.
The bio info.
All right.
You son of a bitch. You cut me off.
So excited.
Fire type. Got it. Ponyta is 3 feet, 66 pounds. I wanted to know if this is kind of on par for a pony, because Pokemon seem to be kind of enlarged.
Yeah, that's a good question. So in terms of the height, 3 foot, 3 inches would be on par with the size of a small pony. So horses are actually measured in this like ancient measurement called hands. So that's about 4 inches.
Somebody had some really small hands.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh, I'm going to be referencing this the entire time.
I mean, it would probably make slamming up and down on that horseback easier. So I'm just saying.
So a small pony is about 12.2 hands or under. So that is measured from the ground to the withers, so like the bottom of the hoof to the top of where their two shoulders meet before the neck. Okay. So in terms of height, it would be like a small pony size.
Nice. I'm glad they kept it, because it does look to be, I guess, realistic horse size. Now, is 66 pounds, is that too light?
Yes. Yeah, a pony should be between 300 to 900 pounds. So, like,
oh my God, ponies are fat as shit. This pony is super emaciated.
And Machop could easily bicep curl these, I guess, then.
Oh, yeah. Well, is this like a hot air balloon situation because of the fire cells in the pony top?
Full of gas.
Is this like... it's lighter because it's just so full of hot air.
Don't say Ponyta's full of hot air.
Maybe it floats because of that. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Well, since we're diving into the bio, I have a Pokedex entry I wanted to read, and that is from Fire Red. Its body is light, and its legs are incredibly powerful. It can clear Ayers Rock in one leap. All right. At first, I thought Ayers Rock was like something in the Pokemon
like
universe.
Plymouth
no,
Rock,
it's
right?
like it. Yeah, Plymouth Rock is in Pokemon, yeah. Right. But Ayers Rock is real. It is the large geological formation found in Australia, the big brown hump that thing looks like a slug in the middle of the desert.
Wow, okay. That is incredibly specific.
Wait,
for Pokemon.
Andy, did you mean Pride Rock?
Just thinking clear Pride Rock pretty easily, so...
I would actually be much more on board for a reference to Pride Rock in Pokemon. This is our second reference, though, in the Pokedex to a real-world place. The last time was just the general China, but this one is even more specific.
And what a place to reference.
Right. How many people actually know Ayers Rock?
Well, not us, so.
Geography is not great.
No.
But that leads me to, I also have so many horse questions.
Okay, good.
And the first one, how high can a real horse jump? I will also follow it up with, which geological formations would a real horse like to jump?
Yes, can you liken it to a place in a desert?
Not like the Grand Canyon. That wouldn't happen. So it's 8 feet, 1.25 inches.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's still way more than I would have given it credit for. I mean, it's no Ayers Canyon, but...
I believe that is the entire height of Red Rocks Amphitheater in Colorado, though.
It can clear Red Rocks easily. Along with your Dex entry, though, I actually found a similar one. This is from Stadium. So Stadium's entry, first of all, it needs to chill. It says...
They all do, dude.
It says, capable of jumping over the Eiffel Tower in a single giant leap, its hooves are 10 times harder than diamonds.
I can't believe I was going through and looking for, like, real-world places, and I noticed Ayers Mountain and
you
not
with
the
Ayers.
Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
They referenced just straight up the Eiffel Tower.
There is a famous horse show there by the Eiffel Tower, so maybe.
Go. Wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
I
went to it.
Jump over it?
No, they jump on, like, they're by it.
Oh,
interesting, interesting. Not as good as Ponyta.
That's far less exciting.
But I do think that Stadium is the biggest offender of real-world references, because I'm pretty sure they reference China as well.
The crazier thing to me in that, though, is the hooves, like, that are...
Good luck getting a horseshoe onto that thing. Yeah.
Like, maybe I should have asked for that as my engagement ring.
Ooh, Ponyta, a nice horse hoof ring.
Yes.
Would that be, like, the equivalent of a fingernail ring?
Yes.
I was thinking more, like, brass knuckles.
Ooh, okay. Oh, God.
That's a good question. I guess you can't put horseshoes on a Ponyta, then. Or do you need,
there's
like,
no
some
way.
Weird diamond drill?
A diamond drill would splinter if it's 10 times harder than diamond.
Well, they probably don't need shoes because they're strong enough. That's
I mean,
why they
if,
have shoes.
If they're made of the strongest alloy on mm-hmm. Earth. Mm-hmm.
Is that why horses wear shoes?
Yeah, they're,
are
like,
they,
supportive, like us. Like, our feet
are... they super brittle?
Yeah, I mean, you put, like, we put stuff on it. We put, like, hoof polish on, so, like, nail polish to make it stronger.
Cute.
Yeah.
Do the middle-aged horses get, like, white New Balance horseshoes?
I'm pretty sure they do Nike Monarchs. Come on.
All right. I just have to follow this one up with a statement I'm going to get out of the way here. Horses terrify me.
Oh,
I am
all right.
Absolutely petrified of horses. I mean no offense. I just am convinced that if horses really wanted to, they could probably just take over the world. On that note, would you rather be kicked by a Ponyta or a real-world full-size horse? A Ponyta is smaller, but it has diamond hooves.
I was
going to
say, with the knowledge we have now.
And it apparently has the back leg power to jump over the Eiffel Tower.
I mean, I think you're answering your own question here. It's going to punch a hole right through you.
Yeah, but a real-world horse is taller.
Okay. And beefier.
No, that's cows. Oh.
Ponyta, like, if it kicks you right, it's just going to, like, chop you in half. I'd much rather a real horse, although I have seen a blacksmith get kicked in the face and, like, broke Ooh. His whole nose right away.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Did he die?
No. His nose just broke, but there was blood everywhere.
I imagined, like, that there was no way to survive getting kicked by a horse.
Usually it's not great, but he was fine.
And yet we'll take it over a Ponyta.
The good thing for you, Ben, though, is that horses' brains are actually, like, they're not smart enough to take over the world. I love them. They're my favorite animal. However, so their cerebrum is only the size of, like, a walnut. So think of the size of a horse head. It's pretty big. Yeah, so they don't, like, the part of their brain that actually processes is really not that smart. The rest of it is the part that's, like, run.
That's the only thing keeping us safe in this world. I do have a question, though, about real-world horses, and this does pertain to Ponyta, because it repeatedly talks about this idea of once you've been accepted by Ponyta and carrying on to Rapidash, but don't want to jump the gun here too much. The burning mane is no longer hot to the touch, which, okay, that's how we have people in different episodes of the anime riding it. And, okay, I get the idea of if your pet was on fire, it would kind of suck, but it's a cool way to get around that trouble. But how much can a real horse tell the difference between different people? Like, okay, Ponyta can recognize this is my trainer, but can your horse recognize you from if I were to go? I'm sure if I were to go there, they wouldn't recognize a smell, but like another rider who they've noticed in the barn before.
Yes, they actually did some research recently that showed that if a horse meets you once, it will remember the mood that you were in at the time.
Whoa.
Yeah, so like they would have somebody come in and like have portray a certain mood on their face. And then they would come back a few days later, you know, a month later. And even if they had a different like mood on their face, the same areas would light up and they would remember in the brains. And they would.
Really?
So they like remember.
Yeah, so
yeah,
they're at least very empathetic.
Exactly. Exactly. So they're like really good at actually reading people and reading people's facial expressions, which is probably why they've done so well as a species, you know.
I mean, I guess that ties back into like how dogs have been so successful, because like dogs can clearly tell the difference in people. And I've always wondered, like, okay, my dog gets excited for anybody who walks into the house, but like if a stranger walks by out front, she just doesn't pay any mind. But if a friend or somebody that she knows before pulls up, she can tell. Is it the same for horses between two different people? Will a horse act differently with you than it will, I assume, other people ride your horse? I don't know how it works.
Yeah, not a lot of other people do ride my horse just because he's younger. And since I own him, a lot of times people are kind of territorial about that. So since he's younger, I want to make sure that, you know, he's keeps everybody safe. As he's actually been hurt recently. So as he's gotten better, and we're kind of rehabbing him now, I'm planning on having more and more people ride him. But he does, like, he recognizes my trainer. He recognizes, obviously, like, he'll see me as I'm coming, like, down from the parking lot to, and he'll whinny to me from his stall.
Really?
Like, he knows, yeah.
Can he recognize, like, peripheral people like your husband?
Yes, because he knows he's the treat man. Yeah, so he gets happy when he
comes the treat man.
He also likes to put in all of my horse's mouth. He will put his knuckles in their teeth, and they like to bite down and see how hard that they can bite before they get in trouble. Like, it's this game he teaches them.
Now, that's so a dangerous game.
I'm telling you, they are testing to see how much the humans can get away with, to see how hard it would be to take over.
Say, let's see how brittle these humans really are.
They got creepy human teeth.
I do want to bring back one more Dex entry. Again, like, I mean, Pokemon is kind of known for this for us at this point, that they seem to like to pick a couple scientific things. I feel like this is par for the course for baby horses, which, now, what is that, a calf? I don't know. You can correct me in a
moment. A foal.
A foal.
A foal. Okay.
Nice.
Hey-o.
But the Ruby Dex essentially makes reference to how when a Ponyta is born, it's very, very weak at birth and can't really stand. So they say this Pokemon becomes stronger by stumbling and falling to keep up with its parent.
Yeah, that's accurate.
I was going to say, this sounded to me pretty spot on.
Yeah, they like spindly little legs and it looks really awkward and they fall down a million times and it's kind of sad, but they have to learn how to run really quickly. I forget exactly how quickly they learn usually, but it's within like a day because they are prey animals.
Yeah, and pretty much all of these Dex entries, other than the Rock Hard Diamond Hooves, all seem to reference something real life to ponies. Again, other than the fact that it is on fire, which somehow hasn't quite come up yet, but it's all pretty much otherwise just a scientifically accurate
horse. Oh, is this
horse
on fire? Was there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about for bio before getting into some game data?
In terms of sizing, like, Ash would be freaking gigantic to ride a Ponyta. Like, he'd be way too big. Like, he should at least be riding a large pony or a Rapidash. So
Ash is only 11 years old. He's a small boy.
I was going to say, especially if it only weighs 30 pounds, doesn't he outweigh it by like 3 to 4 times as much?
Yeah, you would think.
He's just breaking the back of this Ponyta.
The other thing that I like thought about was that, so it's like a cream color. So technically that would usually be considered like a palomino. So like a lot of like the old Westerns, a lot of them, they would have a palomino. So it would be like a kind of goldish color.
Is this rare? Is it a different breed or is it like a coloration difference?
Yeah, so usually, that's a good question. So different breeds have the different colorations. Some of the breeds, weirdly, are based off of the colorations, but most of them, like the majority of the major breeds, would have a palomino.
Okay, so palomino is the color, and a lot of different horses could be palomino.
Correct, yep.
A lot of different horses could be Pinot Palladino, got it.
Of the John Mayer Trio.
All right, well, let's get into some game data for this guy. I always think this is a red or blue exclusive. I think I'm like confusing it with the whole Vulpix.
Yeah, we just, yeah, the other thing, fire stage ones.
However, I do unfortunately have some uncomfortable breeding pairs to share today.
Go ahead. Who's out here going after the horse?
Everybody's least favorite segment, going after this poor emaciated horse.
It's uncomfortable breeding pairs.
Across several generations to get the move Thrash, some different Pokemon that you can breed your tiny poor horse with.
No, Mr. Mime. No, Mr. Nidoking. Mime. No, Mr. Mime. Nidoking is pretty egregious. Yeah.
Nidoking, Primeape.
No.
Yuck. Yeah.
Big, and yuck. Ursaring.
No. I don't want to touch that one.
Also, in one generation, you can breed it with Incineroar.
Incineroar, you get your paws off of Ponyta. I would have accepted Mudsdale as an answer. And,
right.
And that's
right.
Yeah, that Primeape needs to keep its mitts off. That's disgusting.
The only other thing I have for game info for these, I'm sure we'll have a little more to talk about with Rapidash, but these are some shockingly accurate and tame early generation sprites.
Yeah.
But my God, the shiny is awesome.
Oh.
It is.
That was it is so that is cool. The main thing that I wanted to talk about for this Pokemon is that prior to Arceus, Ponyta would have just kind of been a relatively run-of-the-mill Pokemon. I used it in Diamond because it was one of the only two fire types in the whole game. But in Arceus, you are given the opportunity to catch a shiny Ponyta, and shiny Ponyta has blue flames. This was such an incredible design that I caught this. It just happened to have the right nature, the speed-focused nature, so I put this on the team, and I had a shiny Ponyta on my team with the correct nature for pretty much the entire game.
That's awesome.
This is an example where I think I definitely like the shiny version more than the original.
I kind of am mad that we already ranked our favorite shinies, because once I found out this existed, this kind of shoots to the top of the list. It's one of those like we saw with Victory Bell where it's based off of a scientific accuracy. You know, blue flame is hotter.
So technically, the shiny Ponyta would be even hotter and more likely to attract a Nidoking.
Please no. Please no. We're leaving the breeding pairs in the past.
And that's going to wrap it up for this episode.
It has high speed, high attack. I will get more into that with Rapidash, but this thing is, it's a speed build, as you would expect.
Britt, any fun game memories or anything you want to share with us for Ponyta?
I broke my leg, I shattered my leg 3 years ago.
Yo.
Horseback riding, and I had...
I told you, they're taking over.
Yeah, I had three surgeries after that. I went to shock trauma. It was a lot, but very kindly, Ben shared his Let's Go Eevee with me at the time, and it really got me through some rough times, and definitely the Ponyta during that was my favorite part, and I still obviously adore horses, so...
That's awesome.
Is that a thing you want to have, though, like on your team when you're recovering from a massive horse accident, is a horse?
If it lets me ride it, it lets me touch its mane without getting burned. Yes.
It's a yes.
Like, if I am in the hospital because I got bit by a pit viper or something, I'm not going to be like, bring on the Arbok team.
Well, pit vipers are not your hobby, so raising pit vipers.
You don't know me.
They did tell us that the only thing, only people as insane as horseback riders were motorcyclists. So
there you go.
Yeah, who rides motorcycles?
Probably skateboarding, motorcycles, and horses.
That is the most dangerous combination: is horses skateboarding on a motorcycle.
The triforce of breaking your leg.
I have one more thing I wanted to talk about for Ponyta, and that is just
This is the fire horse Pokemon, which by default, if it is a fire horse Pokemon, we are clearly establishing that there are non-fire horses, which scientifically are known as horses.
Nidoking is in luck. Since you've burned that into my brain.
Yeah, which, again, another confirmation that we have real-world animals because we have the fire versions of them.
In my personal headcanon, though, we are going to talk about... We talk about Pokemon in our world the same way they talk about horses in their world. I think that for them, animals are simply fantasy creatures.
Do you think they have, like, horse trading cards?
Yes. Like, there is literally a meme where Ash sits down and plays animals. You gotta see them, you know?
All right, so we're establishing that there's not horses in the Pokemon world, right?
Well, I mean, I guess they would consider Mudsdale a horse, too.
Because I was going to say, otherwise, like, do you think that real-world horses and, otherwise, again, non-fire horses and fire horses would, like, run together? But I assume horses run wild together in groups, because I have also seen car commercials.
Too.
Wait, what other horses?
The ones that Calyrex rides.
All right, we're getting completely derailed from Ponyta here. What do you have
I'm just out here thinking about horses.
It's me every day.
All right, what do you have for anime or manga info for us?
All right, so as we've seen with a couple of these, Ponyta and Rapidash get their own filler episode. This one has some pretty good titles in it. So this episode is it's called The Flame Pokemonathon, which it should have just been Pokathlon, but it's episode 33. Ash meets Laura Laramie, head of Laramie's Big P Ranch.
Oh!
No.
Hey-o.
Yep. Pokemon just makes it way too easy these days. So she hurts
it's
her
arm.
It's
the P on the power belt, right?
It is the same P as you'd find on the power belt. She hurts her arm getting knocked off a horse, or a Tauros. Sorry, I can't blame a horse for this one. A Tauros. Ash essentially just stands
blame a horse
in.
For anything.
Ash stands in and takes her place in the Big P Pokemon race and borrows her Ponyta.
So she was bull riding and she got hurt. That's
all right. Look,
the gist of things.
I only read the synopsis, so I have not seen this since I was a boy. But just to name a couple of the other noted racers that are going to take place in this, Misty is going to ride on her Starmie somehow. Brock rides on Onix, and Pikachu in a weird ethics concern rides Squirtle as a rider.
Now, I do have a serious question for our horse expert. Which in the real world would be faster, a horse or a starfish?
On land, keep in mind.
On
land, with a human sitting on top of it.
You pretty much answered the question in your question, I think.
Starfish, got it.
What about a mouse riding a turtle?
But horses actually can swim pretty well. There's a place, actually, Chincoteague, that is known for a horse swim every year, and they'll round up the horses that live on this island, Assateague, near us, and they'll swim the horses across.
Okay, didn't like horse diving used to be a thing in like the early 1900s?
Yeah.
Like, didn't they push them off of towers?
I was going to say, I don't think that they were choosing to die.
Oh, they were not willing participants.
No, they went and did it themselves, which made it even more insane. Like, the horses would go and jump off with a rider on them.
All right.
Yeah.
Horses are just born showmen. That's what it is.
People in the 1900s were absolutely crazy.
They were so bored.
Just nothing else to do. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some cards to wrap it up here. I only got one. It's base set. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to be that guy.
Base set
is a painfully nostalgic hit of a card, and I am formulating a theory here. I think the cheap and common cards for base set were actually more impactful and trigger the weird nostalgia part of my brain even more, because that's what everybody had when you first started and they were so common.
Oh, 100%. That's
what
I was going to say.
And I'm like, I'm nine.
I think that everybody just had these, most likely. Like, you may not have had a hollow Venusaur, but you most definitely had a Ponyta.
Plus, it was just like a bitchin' fire horse.
Over that realistic digital background. This one set really does confuse me, though, because it's called Arceus, so I tend to think of it as the most recent game, but it's definitely an old set. But if you look at the Arceus, there is a secret rare Ponyta that is a shiny, and it is the reverse image of the original card, I guess. But it has blue flames.
And it's expensive as balls?
It is roughly $50, and it seems like a pretty good card.
Britt, is there any cards you wanted to share with us for Ponyta before we moved on?
Don't, Ben. You know you need to teach me. Both of you actually probably do.
Oh, you don't want to go down that road.
I was going to say, save your money.
In the middle of our nuclear arms race of V cards.
All right, number 78, Rapidash. It is, shockingly, the Fire Horse Pokemon. It is also fire. It evolves at level 40. Finally, we have a final evolution of a cool poke just from leveling up. No stones, no wacky training. I don't have to pretend to have friends.
When's the last time, other than Tentacle, when's the last time we saw one that was not either a trade or a stone?
I want to say Primeape.
All right.
It's been quite a while.
So decades ago, yes.
I always forget that Rapidash has a horn.
Yeah, because Rapidash is essentially a unicorn.
Right? You'd think it would be a more notable feature, but I'm always like, what? It has a horn?
It's just because in Gen 1, a lot of stuff has horns. It was just one of their design cues. So, in the seas of Nidokings and Cloyster, whatever that is, people just kind of, they just forget that it has a unicorn horn.
Is this a unicorn? I saw some veiled references for both this and for Ponyta with regards to some, like, mythology that I was referencing.
Strangely enough, I think of this as a horse with a horn. That is not the answer you want. But somehow, Rapidash is not a unicorn. Somehow. It is a horse with a horn.
Yeah, so I think in my mind, I didn't really think of it, like Andy, I didn't really think of it as a unicorn either.
It's a horse.
I guess I just thought of it, like, its powers being different than what I think of unicorn powers being. However, when I did a little more research, I was like, okay, I forgot that it could do these things.
No, somehow this is like one of our first that is not a secret psychic. I think that's kind of what the issue is. Like, as a pure fire horse, I agree. It's hard to think of it as a unicorn.
Yeah, and I did actually, like, when you think of, especially in Greek mythology, there's, like, you know, Pegasus, you think of the horse with the wings, right? And I actually saw that Ponyta has, they think that it was based basically on Greek god Helios's four horses that, like, pulled his chariot, and he was the god of the sun, so hence fire horse. And that's what I tend to think of more than, like, I don't know, a My Little Pony kind of unicorn.
I hope you're not thinking about My Little Pony, like, ever.
I was going to say Bronyta, but I was just going to leave it alone.
I will concede a little bit the idea of the horses of the sun and them being on fire, but I also saw in researching for it a lot of speculation for references to different stories in Greek mythology and just other mythology through history. And I was kind of thinking about it, and I was like, I don't really buy it as a reference to a specific story. And I kind of got thinking, like, you could make an argument that Rapidash is a vague reference to, like, Shadowfax or Little Sebastian or something like that. Or, like, the whole family
now
could
wait,
almost be a reference to any horse.
No, it is a reference to Little Sebastian, though.
Bye-bye, Little Sebastian.
That's why it's so little and lightweight.
But I was thinking about it, and I was like, it works so well. It kind of feels like it's pertaining to all these different mythologies, because I think that by including it, they were just making a reference to just the idea of the noble steed and the bond that people and horses have had through so much of history. It, like, other than maybe Growlithe and Arcanine, this one feels really obligatory as, like, something that has been so prevalent in human history, so special to people, and such a partner. I mean, you're the horse girl.
Absolutely. Like, so many of our societies would not have been built. So many of our wars would not have been won without horses. So,
yeah.
But I have to weigh in on this myth, because I agree where I saw, I get it, where how Helios, and there's a lot of other, basically just myths throughout various cultures, that something brings the sun and also causes the sun to set. It's always a person, you know, with a chariot being pulled by horses. What I was grappling with was I was like, okay, well, are those horses fire horses? Did we directly lift this, or are we somehow referencing the sun in some way? It almost felt more like, the Greek myth almost feels more like speculation, like maybe people think that it's potentially based off of that rather than, like, when we saw Ninetales. I mean, that's a kitsune. That's most of our Americans' first impression of a kitsune. Growlithe is a chow dog. There's no doubt about it because it's in the decks. But, yeah, it does make me think, was this intentional? Is this coincidental?
I think it just is. It's tied into that running theme that we have in so many stories where the horse is just as prevalent because it's been such a big part of human history, and it really has been like an equal player in a lot of stories to humans.
Yeah, and it does make me think of you know, the connection, even if it's not necessarily like mythology related, but before tractors, a horse was a tractor. So the connection with agriculture and the sun and the connection that we have to the earth, it sounds kind of hippy dippy, but you know, there's also that connection there, too, that I think is kind of interesting to think about.
No, I can definitely see that. And especially, I mean, now that we're into Rapidash and into this kind of large horse, if we're going to talk about myths or, you know, any sort of mythos that this is based off of, I almost get the personality elements, like what you were saying, Ben, as far as this, it's almost like you got Pegasus's personality. You got like the trusted steed mentality from those myths rather than even the direct depiction.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, it's the feeling of that specialness of the horse.
Trusted steed is the best way that I could put it as far as what Rapidash's personality seems like. It's like a wild Mustang, and then once you catch it,
you're taming the wild Mustang.
Yes, exactly. And then it's your friend.
All right, I have one Pokedex reference for this one that I want to talk about. It references in a couple of them that it can reach speeds of up to 150 miles an hour.
Yeah, I saw that.
How fast have you ever been on a horse, do you think? Fastest you've
like
ever been?
Like 160, probably.
Wait, is this accurate?
No.
This is accurate?
So
what you're saying is Rapidash is pretty slow.
Ben, your motorcycle is boring.
You see a horse flying down the highway. Yeah,
the fastest I've ever done on a motorcycle was like 135, and it was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life, and I will never do it again. And I can't imagine the motorcycle also doesn't have a mind of its own and can't be scared by like a bee.
Get diamond hooves, bro. You got to go a little faster than that.
But like, How fast do you normally, if you're out for speed, how fast do you normally go?
I should have clarified earlier, I'm not racing, so
I do know that.
I'm jumping obstacles, so more I'm jumping the Eiffel Tower.
Okay, got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Eiffel Tower jumping, yep.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Red Rocks.
And Red Rocks.
It's Ayers Mountain.
However, so my horse is bred for jumping. So he's kind of like a mixture of a thoroughbred, which is a like faster, kind of more cold-blooded horse that was originally bred from Arabians. They're insanely fast for long distances. But shorter distances, they bred them with larger breed horses. So like, if you think of a Mudsdale, so a Mudsdale is kind of like an equivalent to a Clydesdale. So if you think of like the Budweiser commercials, you know, the
oh,
big
yeah,
ones
Budweiser.
In that. Yeah. They bred those kind of bigger workhorses with these faster horses to kind of get this in between, a little bit hardier, like faster in the shorter routes.
Kind of like a Hemi where you get both speed and power.
That horse got a Hemi in it.
Yes, I interjected this whole thing for that. Go ahead.
So the fastest I saw that a racehorse went on record was a thoroughbred. So that's the type of horses that we race in the U.S. and like the U.K. That was 43 miles per hour.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, that's insanely fast.
I wouldn't want to go that fast.
What's the fastest do you think that you've done? Like, I know you don't race, but like
10 miles per hour.
How high can you get that horse up to?
That's still like even 10 miles an hour sounds scary to me. I have another speed comparison question. Which would be faster, a thoroughbred or a whole wheat bred?
Stop.
Anyway,
it.
Moving on.
Don't. All right. Anyways, I had to bring up the name because Rapidash, it's a pretty cool name, and it's already just a combination of Rapid and Dash, clearly. But the Japanese name is Gallop.
Before
it could
I
have
comment,
just been Gallop.
Before I comment on it, I want to know, what is your opinion? Which one do you prefer?
I think they all should have been Gallop. If the Japanese name is Gallop, that was its original name.
I wrote down that this is a rare instance where I think the Japanese name is the lame one. Rapidash is so much cooler
I'm not
than
saying
Gallop.
It's not lame. Rapidash is cool, but I'm saying Gallop is already good enough. Ponyta could have been
so late.
Ponyta could have been like Trot, and then and then this could be.
Why don't we just rename all of them? Starting a petition now. Let's rename Fero to Flap.
Done.
All right, sold.
Negotiations over. Yeah, and then this borderlines on game data, but not really. If you talk in the Kanto region to the Pokemon fan club chairman, this is his favorite Pokemon, Rapidash.
I get that.
That's fair.
Yeah, pretty good.
I was kind of surprised the floor, like the ground to the withers, the top of the shoulders. It said that a Rapidash is like 5'7". So that's about 16 or so hands. And that's about the size of my horse. So you would kind of think, I don't know, in my mind, I thought that the Ponyta would be like something smaller, like more that size. And then a Rapidash would be something kind of
like gigantic.
Much, much bigger.
Well,
yeah.
Luckily, we will get to see that in our game data.
Well, why don't we talk about game data? I don't really have much. I have some thoughts about it. Its viability in the game, but I'd rather save that for the family as a whole.
All right. Well, so I really would not have much if it weren't for Arceus. This is insane. So two different things to bring up. First is just to go off of my original shiny Ponyta. Clearly, I evolved it into a Rapidash. It now has purple flames. Looks insanely cool with the giant purple flames. It's no longer, I guess, accurate unless...
The blue is cooler.
Yeah, the blue is cooler. It would have been cool to keep the blue, but it still looks very cool, and it is still, it's currently on the team. This was one of those that can always get first hit. And I just love that it has the move High Horsepower. It's just very good.
Hey-o!
Prior to seeing the shiny, the first alpha that I saw in Arceus was Rapidash. This is easily one of the largest alphas in the game. It completely towers over anything else.
Yeah, if you catch that alpha one, it's like a giraffe.
Yeah, I feel like you're at like knee height. Yeah.
It's like larger than the Snorlax alpha. It's gigantic.
Yeah, which
I love it.
I would actually kind of prefer that.
It set a really crazy impression as the first alpha that I caught.
Here's a take I don't think is going to be too controversial. The evolution of Ponyta to Rapidash kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a typical Gen 1 thing that I feel the need to defend often. And it's just that we took one thing.
Me as well.
We took one thing and we're like, if you like that, you'll love it if we just do that more so.
I was going to say, it's not even more so. It's just
it has
bigger.
Literally just grown up and they called it an evolution.
Yeah.
The flames look a little more aggressive. I don't know.
It does have a sweet horn now, too, that I always forget about.
It is a unicorn now. It's got a lot more flames.
Put a poison pin in that idea, too, because I also wanted to circle back to that one as well.
Put a pin missile in that, because I think this can learn that.
Damn it. Can't keep changing it up on me. What else did you guys want to talk about for Rapidash?
Well, just to end the anime episode, at the end of episode 33, Ash continues his cheating streak, because at the very end of the race, his Ponyta feels the need to evolve. It evolves mid-race into Rapidash and blows the doors off of the other guy next to him, Dario, and his Dodrio in order to win the race.
I could see an interesting fight between a Rapidash and a Dodrio.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because it was basically a Roadrunner and a racer.
No, dude, it's like an emu.
Dodrio?
Yeah, isn't it like an emu?
All right. One of them is a Roadrunner. Maybe by Dodrio it's more emu, but I'm pretty sure one of them's a Roadrunner.
A Roadrunner's like tiny.
Go look up Doduo in the middle of this episode.
No, Dodrio. Doduo's different.
I know, like I'm saying ostrich. One of them is a Roadrunner.
Right, but the Dodrio isn't because it has three heads. More like an emu.
Because emus have three heads.
Yep.
Fine.
Yep.
Correct. Either way, Ash cheated by evolving somebody else's Pokemon mid-match to win.
Britt, is there anything else you wanted to discuss specific to Rapidash before we get into the Galarians and the family as a whole?
Did you see how much it weighed on average?
Why, yes. It is 209 pounds.
That's still really
light. Pretty gigantic horse you got there.
Recently learned how much horses weighed about however many minutes ago that was, and now as an expert, I can safely say that's really light.
If you don't refer back, I've actually always known that they were 300 or 400 pounds. So that is small for a horse.
That's for a pony. For a horse, it's between 800 to 1,500. And then, like, the Clydesdales, like the heaviest horse on record was
3,336 yes. pounds.
However, it was in 1850, so I feel like they could make shit up then. They could.
And it was in
and
England.
They were just counting hands, so you know.
All right, let's talk about some cards to wrap it up here.
I've got a really cool card.
Please go ahead.
It's from Team Rocket, which I feel like I haven't brought up in a while on purpose.
It's been maybe one
episode.
Been a
very long time. But anyways, Dark Rapidash is so cool. I really like the art style,
awesome.
First of all, with kind of how, not monochrome, but you know what I mean. It's like a very bold color contrast, and it looks like it's about to do a fire spin. And then I have to bring up Team Up, not as much for the art, but just because of how much heavy lifting this card does in the Charizard intro deck.
I don't want to talk about that card because I hate it so much.
Yeah, it's an incredible card.
The only card I have, well, other than Team Rocket, even though I knew you were going to bring that one up, look up Triumphant. It has like an old Japanese art style to it. The card isn't that great, but man, the art really stands out. It looks great.
Ooh, that is cool.
Oh, like yeah, it does have kind of like that wood block look to it.
That's what I'm thinking of. Again, though, for this poke, no GX, no EX, and the only V we got is Galarian, which makes sense. It is Sword and Shield. But speaking of Galarians, let's talk about Galarian, Ponyta, and Rapidash. Britt, I know you're a big fan of Sword and Shield. Thoughts on Galarian, Ponyta, and Rapidash?
I am, but I really hate them. I really hate them. Like,
well, I'm glad we brought you on for this episode.
I don't know. I just feel like you just put a My Little Pony in there, and like
it's
yeah.
very
you know,
My Little Pony, especially Ponyta.
Yeah. Why did you make it like cotton candy? It's just like it could be so badass, but you went with
they took the fire and they turned it back into fur. They took the cool
yeah.
part.
Is this personally offensive to you as a horse girl?
I feel like it. I feel like it reduces it in a way. It's too fluffy, too cute.
What if they had made it just a brand new Pokemon for this form and just called it Bronyta?
I would be into it then.
Just for
You and a very weird portion of the internet would be very
into
it.
I mean, come on, that's what this is. You can cut that, but that's
shout
what
out Nidoking.
Cut that.
Look, I'm going to agree with you. I really don't like the design of it, but I think it's actually a really interesting poke to talk about because I think that this is one of the best examples to talk about some of the changes in design language. And I know people go back and forth on this a lot, and it's always a hotly contested subject. I do like a lot of later gen pokes. There's actually Gen 8 was one of my favorite gens overall. There's a lot of really good stuff in it. But this poke does really exemplify the change in design language. And I think I found the best way to represent it. Ponyta is an artist's depiction of a horse. And Galarian Ponyta and Galarian Rapidash is an artist's depiction of a stuffed horse doll.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say unicorn.
No, it's like you're right. Ponyta and Rapidash is more like a stuffed unicorn than an actual animal. Look at the size of the eyes and the ears. They're so much bigger.
Freaky.
It's so much cuter. And the head, instead of having like a more horse shape with like the long snout with the teeth that are apparently eating your knuckles off, the head is more like a rounded teddy bear kind of face.
For me, the issue with the design is that it suffers from the same issue that Hisui and Arcanine did. Arcanine is already a reference to a chow dog, a guardian statue, but it is a subtle reference. And instead, they just went much harder on it, and they said, we know it's a chow dog, it's made of stone, boom, rock type. That, to me, is what they did here, was that they took a Pokemon that was maybe vaguely unicorn with the horn, and a bit horse-like, and they just said, now it's really a unicorn.
The unicorn is the national animal of Scotland. And that's why they did it. It is supposed to be a...
Hold up. They have real unicorns
a reference. Yeah. Have you been there?
I haven't been.
Have you never gone?
Yeah, then they definitely have real ones. All right. There.
I don't know why they wouldn't have like based it off of a Scottish breed of horse. So like...
What is that? Like a Shetland pony? Isn't
yeah,
that a thing?
Yeah, exactly. So they use them. They're like these little fat... They're evil. They're really
Is that
naughty
what little
ponies.
Sebastian is?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so a Shetland, it's like a really rotund pony. Like, that would be perfect for a poke, right? Like a big chunky pony.
Well, that would be the opposite, though, because they only weigh like 40 pounds or whatever.
They did do one thing right with the Alolan form, though.
It's not Alolan.
Ponyta is the fire horse.
It's not Alolan.
Oh, my God. The Galarian. I know I keep saying Alolan. We've been doing a lot of Alola lately.
No, that was the first time you said Alolan.
Okay,
I'm proud
good.
Of
I have
you.
It written down as Alolan. The thing that the Galarian forms did right for this is that the Ponyta is the fire horse Pokemon, okay? This is the unique horn Pokemon. Let's let that sink in. The unique horn Pokemon.
Just keep going. I'm not going to edit any of this silence out either.
I want it, I just I want it to seep.
I really just want you to completely dead air this joke.
Unique horn?
I just feel like it would have been so cool if they made it like ice or something. I don't know.
Well, we'll get an ice horse in the patch, so.
All right. Well, you brought up comparing it to Growlithe and Arcanine in the forums, but I do have a... I always put this poke in the same category as Growlithe and Arcanine.
Yeah.
It's like horse, dog. They kind of have the same evolution. Like, it just gets bigger. Neither of them is that exciting.
It's subtly mythical as well.
It's a little bit. It definitely references, like, that human bond and everything. And it feels really like something that you would have in a game about pairing up with animals. It is a really literal translation. I get it. It is basically everything that we shouldn't like about Pokemon that we always talk about being a little uninspired and boring, but it works. Why does adding flames to an animal make it so fucking cool?
Why does adding flames to a Camaro make it cool?
Sold. I'll take it.
Yeah.
No, this Pokemon is just simply very underrated. I do think that it is ultimately very, very animal-like, so people who like horses are just gonna like it. People who don't or are neutral are gonna feel neutral. What did it for me is, again, using it in the games. This is the only viable fire type in Diamond. It's literally the only fire type if you didn't choose Chimchar. And in Arceus, I just learned how fast it is. So between this and Jolteon, both on my team, complete speed demons. Nothing was getting through. If you wanted to put this out against something that was weak to fire, you were getting first hit, and you could potentially knock it out every time.
I'm going to counter that. I get the validity of having it in Gen 4, given the lack of fire pokes. But going back to Gen 1 and 2, unfortunately, Ponyta and Rapidash, while I agree, completely underrated, I think the reasoning for that is because I think they were another example of too little, too late.
Yeah, there was too much fire Pokemon in Gen 1.
You can pick... There's an exorbitant amount. They're all cool. But I'll put it this way. Britt, would you rather have a Vulpix, an Arcanine, or a Rapidash?
Make a Vulpix.
Or I'm including Ninetales. I mean that family in general. The two of them.
It goes back to the reason you would play a fantasy game to begin with. It's that you don't really want little birdie. You know?
Right.
You want monster.
Which one of those would you pick?
Oh, Arcanine.
Right. And I'd probably either go with Ninetales or Arcanine either. I really think that...
And I have a Rapidash on my team, so that's already decided.
I think that by the time you get around to these in the Pokemon Mansion, and they are a little bit of a later game thing to
and
find
the biking
in like
trail,
Gen 2 and stuff.
Cycling Road in Yellow. Yep.
Nobody plays Yellow. I think by the time...
everybody played Yellow.
I think by the time you get around to those, you've already kind of like grown an attachment and built up your Vulpix or Arcanine, or you had a fire starter. You have a Typhlosion or you have a Charizard at that point. I think it's just a little too late.
It's just sadly you probably have something already, which a lot of these Pokemon ultimately suffer for, but that's why it's fun to use them in these later gens.
Reddit favorites poll real quick to kind of reflect on that. Ponyta 231, Rapidash 173. Honestly, that was shockingly low to me. Apparently, the horse girl contingent is really not that into Pokemon, which I doubt. Or they're just not that into answering questions on Reddit. I think that's probably more believable.
I was going to say, I mean, yeah, the biggest issue is that Reddit is just men.
Reddit's probably a lot of My Little Pony
it's
fans,
just
I'm
angry
sure.
Men,
it is.
So.
I do know some horse girls on Reddit, but they're too busy like riding horses. So
yeah, they don't
actually know a lot of horse girls
like,
that are also
I'm busy
into folks,
touching
so.
Grass, you nerd.
Yeah. They have no time from riding horses and no money to afford the smartphone.
Exactly.
Not answering your poll.
All right, Brittany, why don't you give us your final thoughts and close out for us your final thoughts on this family as our esteemed horse expert.
I just think my next horse that I should probably name Rapidash, right? What do you think?
Sold.
Yeah.
It's interesting because as I was thinking about this, I was like, this is not actually, I mean, it's in there because it's the horse, but it's like not my number five, right?
It whoa, could be whoa, a lot whoa. Cooler. We haven't asked you
know,
your favorite
thing.
You got to save
excited.
It. You got to save it.
Don't give up the picks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's shocking to me. I would have figured it. A lot of people who like grew up and were super into horses would be like, this would be their number one seed.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
If you can have it in real life, it's not going to be the top
dog. I think you're right.
In the game.
I think you're right. I already have one.
Yeah, it's already a favorite a favorite animal, air quotes.
Some of us couldn't afford horses. And then some of us are freaking terrified of them.
Some of us run away from horses when we see them.
You both have to come meet him now.
That's going to wrap it up for episode 32, where we talked about Ponyta and Rapidash. Some fiery horses.
Coming up next, in place of Hypothetical, we're going to ask Britt about her favorite Pokemon. It's time for something in place of Hypothetical. Today, just as we've been doing with all of our guests, we are going to ask Britt what her top five Pokemon are. Now, again, this is fully personal criteria. There is really nothing you have to go by. It's just what are your favorites?
But there are definitely wrong answers.
Oh, there are wrong answers, but it's by your criteria. So start us off with number five, if you don't mind.
So this is interesting because I feel like, so my background is in counseling. So I feel like a lot of times I'll ask people questions and really judge them based off of their answers.
So you're fully
like
used to what
some
we're about to do.
Analysis you're about to do on me.
Yes. No, we just say boo if we don't like it.
Don't share this. There's probably several listeners out there who are now completely terrified of being judged by their therapist.
Yeah, don't put that in there.
Yeah. Therapists will judge the shit out of your Pokemon choices.
Yeah. Ghastly. Interesting.
Hey.
Oh, sorry, ghost Pokemon. I know, I'm sorry.
Number five, unfortunately, is Rapidash, just because, like, I had to do, I mean, I couldn't even put Ponyta in there. I
fully
just
left field. This is incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Generally, our guests
again,
have to kind of put this off to the side because it's the top.
But some of my other favorites are horse adjacent. So I think just because, again, like having it in your life already and like not having that many things that are all that different doesn't make it that exciting. And, you know, I think most people join, you know, want to play this because it's a cool escape.
Definitely.
That's why it's
point.
Number five.
I think you are the first guest that we've had on where the poke that we talked about was not their
it
number
is
one.
It's not the favorite.
Keep you on your toes.
Number one better not be Gen 1.
Number four, what do you have for us?
I love to take a nap, and I love to eat, and I love to just be like a bump on a log. So I just love Snorlax. I just really, he's just so relatable, and, you know, I just love Snorlax.
Snorlax is a top-tier pick, for sure.
Now, to wake you up, does your husband frequently play a flute at you?
Wake up, honey.
Honestly, I think he's the Snorlax. So my number three it's always been up in the top 10, but I think it's gone up since listening to you all, would be Diglett.
Yeah. It's a little low, but it's fine.
I was going to say, as long as Doug Trebro's number one, we'll still,
still fine.
We'll let the episode air.
No, Diglett, I just always like, it's so amusing. You just have him like bop out of the ground. I don't know.
He's the whack-a-mole poke.
And number two.
Can I have a tie for my last two?
Sure.
I mean, these are some very stringent rules we have here, but I guess we'll,
I always had an honorable mention.
All right, give us your one and 1A. Just give us a tie
left.
For number one. I don't care. We'll
three
take
three left.
Oh my God. All right.
Three-way tie for first.
So in high school, I went to an all-girls school, and we had a brother school across the street, and we had this whole thing. We had had people vote on which was the best, Squirtle, Charmander, or Bulbasaur. There we go. it's been a long day. The group that lost, they had to bake a cake in the shape of that poke for the other. So we all like Charmander best, and they all like Squirtle, and Squirtle won.
Ooh.
So I had to make a Squirtle cake. I will send you a picture of that Squirtle cake at some point.
Please do.
But yeah, Charmander, I just love him. Brings back those good old days with my yellow Game Boy.
Oh, wait, hold on. Number three is all three starters. Is that
Charmander?
No, okay. Charmander. Okay. Pay attention. It was not convoluted
was a long
at
story.
All.
And then my final two, because I love foxes, they're my favorite. Again, horse adjacent, so like fox hunting.
Oh, I gotcha.
Ninetales and Eevee.
Eevee is a fox.
Yeah.
Eevee's a lot of things, but yes, we'll take fox.
What do you think Eevee is?
Cat. No, save it.
No.
Oh, wait, I haven't
Ben.
Seen Eevee yet.
We don't. We'll find out on an upcoming episode of Pokedex Pathfinders.
In another 27 years when we finally talk about it. Wait, so what about, like, Thievul?
Yeah, Nickit.
They're cute, but not... I don't know. I feel like they're not... They're cute, but they're not, like, badass. Eevee's way cuter.
And Thievul's okay. Got the weird... the mustache. It's
He's
creepy.
Got the twiddly John
He's
Waters
very
mustache.
Baron. Yeah.
Like, Fennekin's cute, like a Fennec fox.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was a good list. Well,
it was a solid list.
Appreciate it. And appreciate having you on today. Is there anything that you wanted to plug? Do you want to share any info about your counseling so people can sign up and you can judge their Pokemon choices?
Well, thank you all for having me so much. I had so much fun.
Thanks for joining
and
us.
Thank you. And if anybody is looking for therapy, especially for youth from elementary school through college, you can reach out to me, especially if you have to be in Maryland, unfortunately. So, but if you are in Maryland, reach out to me. I can be reached at bbjlcswc@gmail.com.
Again, we appreciate you coming on, and that's going to wrap it up for episode 32. Give us a follow on TikTok and Instagram. We are at Pokedex Pathfinders. We post fun videos on there. Maybe we'll post a fun video of Brittany riding a horse or maybe falling off a horse or whatever people do with horses. I don't know.
Perfect.
Give us a follow on there and send us a message and let us know if you have any ideas for a hypothetical or tell us what your top five favorite pokes are. Whatever.
Yeah, if you're not feeling too horse, gallop on over to our Instagram and TikTok at Pokedex Pathfinders and give us a follow.
Sometimes I wonder why I even put your track in the episode.
I know that's the biggest... you would like to say nay to my puns.
I'm so done
King
with you.
Of dad jokes.
That's going to wrap it up. I'm Ben.
And I'm Andy.
And we'll catch you on the next one.
See ya.